We just spoke with Michael Gordon of the New York Times about the job number one of the Barack Obama National Security Team dealing with the situation in Afghanistan. Apparently down the list is the situation in the Middle East, which makes this administration and this transition somewhat unusual. The Arab-Israeli peace process has been top priority for incoming administrations going back generations. Joining us now is Aaron David Miller, a public policy scholar at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He's also a former advisor to six secretaries of state on Arab-Israeli negotiations. Aaron David Miller, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, there's a couple of things that are interesting here. One, the Arab-Israeli conflict doesn't have the profile this time around as it's had, which I suppose is not a surprise given what's happened in the last 8 years. But I want to alert you to something that I read about in the New York Review of Books that was actually an interview that Ehud Olmert, the outgoing prime minister of Israel, gave to Yediot Ahronot, one of the big newspapers there in Israel, where he said, even though he's discredited for internal political reasons in Israel, that this was the time to make a deal with the Palestinians, a land for peace deal. And that he really described in very candid terms that being prime minister of Israel made him see this more clearly. It was an amazingly candid interview, and I wonder if you have a reaction to it.
Yeah, I think it represents a fundamental evolution, certainly in the thinking of Israelis and I would argue Palestinians, that the end game is not only desirable now, but it's knowable. We know exactly where it's supposed to come out. And I admire the prime minister for his courage. The problem is not, however, the absence of clever fixes to solve the problem. The problem is the absence of political will on each side,
right,
the capacity to actually make these tough decisions, and the current environment, political situations within Palestine and within the Israeli polity. Those are the real obstacles that any American mediator is going to confront.
And so the great irony here is that the lower profile of the Arab-Israeli conflict represents an opportunity for intelligent peacemakers, but the election campaign in Israel probably is a setback. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, the election campaign may only be a delay. We don't know, obviously, who is going to emerge as prime minister. But it's the other piece of this that is even more complex, and that is the divided and dysfunctional Palestinian House. You've got two claimants now who claim to speak authoritatively for the Palestinian national movement. You have Fatah and Ramallah, and you've got Gaza veritably entrenched in Hamas in Gaza veritably entrenched there. So I think the real problem is how do you create a situation where you have one gun, one authority, and one negotiating position? If you add to that ongoing Israeli settlement activity, which is not stopped, and the absence of very strong leadership in Israel, you see that the opportunities for breaking through, for actually doing what Prime Minister Olmert wants to do, and presumably his counterpart, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, that's not the low-hanging fruit, perhaps. It may well be that an Israeli-Syrian agreement is a more doable deal, so to speak.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. And that was something that Ehud Olmert also talked about in that interview. But in a case where the situation is devoid of constructive political will and a lot of complexity, as you suggest, Israeli leaders are looking somewhere else for their hope. Here's Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni, who's congratulating Barack Obama on his victory.
We have a new president, not only the United States of America, but the president of the United States is the president of the free world, in a way.
Is it right for Israelis to put so much hope in the new incoming administration as a driver of the Arab-Israeli peace process?
I think it's understandable, but I think it's, to some degree, an assessment that is exaggerated. You're dealing with a new administration, a young president, facing the most serious economic, financial, and perhaps even social crisis that this country has faced since the Great Depression. He confronts a series of problems abroad which require immediate attention, extricating American forces from Iraq in a way that leaves us in a position where we can leave without losing, which is going to be a very difficult thing to do. He faces Iran and the prospects, very real prospects, that somewhere on his watch the Iranians will enrich enough uranium indigenously to produce a weapon. He faces an angry, dysfunctional, and conflict-ridden Middle East in which a debate is ongoing within Islam, in which the Arab center on which America depends may be weaker than any of us have imagined, and small groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, who have demonstrated an intense capacity to bring about real leverage and undermine the efforts of the peacemaker. So he doesn't confront a neighborhood ripe with diplomatic opportunities. And I would expect, even though there will be engagement, there's no question, but it's going to have to be smart engagement. The president is going to have to determine initially how important is Arab-Israeli peacemaking in his list of priorities. Governing really is about one thing. It's about choosing. And it's about choosing what you care about and what you don't.
And the president will be the new president will be choosing in an environment where, as you say, the small players like Hamas have much greater leverage than the big players, who are daunted by lack of political will or the fact that they're in transition to power. Aaron David Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, John.
Aaron David Miller is a public policy scholar at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He's also former advisor to six Secretaries of State on Arab-Israeli negotiations.